Hello, this is my Lenten Diary for March the 12th, 2016. Today is Saturday in the fourth week of Lent. If there is a singular passage in all of Scripture most identified with weddings, it would likely have to be the 13th chapter of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. In fact, many people know it simply as the love chapter. And while it certainly represents some of Paul's grandest poetic language, it is not primarily a teaching on romantic love. If you were with me yesterday for yesterday's diary, you understand that Paul sets this discussion of love in the context of a quarrelsome congregation that is competing with one another over who has the best spiritual gift. We read a few of those verses from 1 Corinthians 13 yesterday, and today we've got some of them repeated, but with the whole chapter. Invariably, however, when I do a wedding, 9 times out of 10, the happy couple chooses 1 Corinthians 13 as one of the readings. I think it is because of Paul's soaring language. It's because of the balance and the spacing and the rhetoric, and it does sound beautiful. And perhaps in the beauty, people overlook what real work love is. Let me just read a few of the verses from 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. When I was a child, Paul writes, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. Love will take every ounce of our energy. It is not a feel-good feeling. It is not about being swept away with emotion. It is about the nitty-gritty of daily commitment to another person, in the case of marriage, to family members, to our neighbors, to strangers, to fellow church members, and even to those with whom we disagree. Perhaps this is the challenge of love, that we think it comes naturally, that we think if we just feel loving towards someone, then we can behave lovingly. And I actually think that Paul is onto something. It works the other way around. The more we behave lovingly, the more we come to love. The more committed we are to hanging in with the people who drive us nuts and to still continue to show them the dignity of the person who has been gifted with life like we have. That's love. Now, we could argue about whether or not this means letting people have their own way, or letting people, quote, as we would say in the South, run over us, unquote. And And certainly there are ways to construct loving boundaries. And certainly this is not about putting oneself in physical or emotional danger. But I think most of us don't give loving behaviors enough of a chance. Wouldn't it be great if everybody behaved like we wanted them to? It would be great. Unfortunately, part of what I believe Paul is asking the Corinthians to undertake is a bit of self-evaluation. While I may be wanting everyone else to behave accordingly, let me check my behavior. How kind have I been lately? How patient have I been? How have I dealt with my envy or my tendency to boast? How have I made strides with my capacity for rudeness? How well am I doing with bearing the difficulties of human relationships? Those are tough questions, but I think they're at the heart of what Paul is asking the Corinthians and us to do. The way we grow in our capacity to love is not by waiting for the perfect church or the perfect family member or the perfect soulmate. The way we grow in our capacity to love is by practicing loving actions with those whom we come into contact with every day. It may be as simple as not criticizing someone when we definitely want to do it. It may be something as simple as saying, thank you, we obviously don't see eye to eye, but I understand where you get that opinion from, and leaving it at that, as opposed to arrogantly assuming that if we could simply educate the ignorant person, they would be so much better off. Love is not simply a pie in the sky ideal. It gets lived out in the dailiness of living with imperfect individuals. I think that's why it's so important what Paul says to the Corinthians about it's part of growing in maturation. It's part of growing fully into the stature of Christ. We begin by behaving childishly, but hopefully over time as we grow into adulthood, not only physically, but emotionally and spiritually as well, we learn to see that love is not only the most excellent way, it is the only way. Let us pray. Mercifully hear our prayers, O Lord, and spare all those who confess their sins to you, that those whose consciences are accused by sin may by your merciful pardon be absolved, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.